Good morning.
Good morning.
It is such a beautiful day today, made even sweeter because of the fellowship we can have here and the fellowship we have after this in potluck. I always enjoy potluck days, not just for the obvious reason of good food and good friends, but the love that we can share is always something that I hold dearly. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Beginning here in verse 1, he talks about seeking things that are above. And I want you to remember, if you can, to think about how important visitation is to a community's commerce. Now, most reasonably large areas have a visitor center where they talk about all the great things that you can do in the area. And I remember the old commercials for Indiana Beach. That's where I'm from. So it's always, there's more than corn in Indiana, because that's all anybody thinks is in Indiana. I don't know if they know this, there's people in Indiana too. Not just corn and cows. Plenty of those though. But our whole mantra was, there's something interesting here in Indiana, and I'll tell you right now, there wasn't. And so they you have them on TV, they're always talking about, hey, come visit Michigan or California. Right? Think about these places, because they want you to imagine, hey, imagine being here. Imagine coming to the beach if you're in one of the coastal areas. Imagine coming to the mountains and seeing the beauty that's here. Imagine whatever it is. Put this on your top list of things you must see before you die. But Paul here says, you need a list of places you want to be when you die. And there should only be one place on it. There should only be one place on your list of places you want to go when you die. And that's heaven. He says, you need to set your mind on things above. Seek the things that are above. Number 95, right? Heaven holds all for me. He says, that's where my life is. That's where my all is. That's where everything that I want to do is. And so we've got to think about those things. We've got to think about how to get where we want to go. And there might be a thousand places that we want to go before we die. 1,000 things we want to see. 1,000 things we want to do. But if our list of places we want to go when we die isn't set, nothing else matters. So he says, think of things that are above. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, if then we were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. He says there are three reasons you need to think about visiting heaven. You need to set your mind on it. Not just think about it. Well, I might like to go to Michigan sometime. Well, I might like to go to California one day. I may visit Tibet. That we set our minds on going to heaven. That it is our goal. It is our all. And that we, by any means necessary, make it. He says there are three reasons. First, he says in verse 1, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you then were raised with Christ, he says, Colossians chapter 2, in verse 12, back a chapter. He says, if you were, it was at baptism. If you were raised with Christ, it's because you were baptized into Christ. He says there in verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, in which you also were raised with Him through faith in the working of God. It's difficult to be raised unless you've been put down first. There's a prerequisite there. You can't be raised up out of something until you're put into something. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Acts chapter 22, verse 16, in baptism, sins are remitted, forgiven, removed, cleansed. There's a whole bunch of words for that same thing. You're purified, he says. So you were raised up as a new person in that way, a new slate. Your slate from old, all the things that you had done are wiped clean. But also, Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 says that we are raised to walk in newness of life. So not just raised as a new slate, raised as a cleansed soul, but we're raised to walk in newness of life, that our purpose now should change. He says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in newness of life. That who we were before should be slightly different, if not completely different, from who we are now. You could be a really good person before. It's your mentality, your mind, your decisions have to change to match Christ. And He has to own you and possess you. And that's the newness of life that we come into. Many people want to go down into the water and they want to be raised into their old life. That's not how it works, friends. We go down into the watery grave of baptism and that old man dies, which we'll talk about later. Our sins are forgiven, remitted, removed, cleansed, and we come back up a new creature, a new creation in Christ. Our slate is wiped clean, but our life changes. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We can't come up the same old person, unchanged. He says we need to seek the things that are above because we've been raised with Christ. Because our minds have been changed, our lives have been changed, our purpose, our goal has been changed. Because we value the spiritual over the material. It says we can't be thinking about, verse 2 there, Colossians chapter 3, we can't be thinking about things on this earth. Things that are above come first. They are highest priority. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world and it is certain we can carry nothing out. You can grab a hold of everything you want. We were talking the other day. Yesterday, I believe it was. Told the old joke. The man wanted, his greatest desire was to be buried with everything that he had. All the money he possessed. And so before they close the casket, his wife comes up and she writes him a check. Puts it in his pocket. Cash that, buddy. Cash that. Nothing transfers from here, but the things that we put into heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says that we should lay up our treasures in heaven. Where moth and rust are not destroying, where thieves are not breaking and steal. Because here they do. Here folks break into your house, they steal all your stuff. Or over time, as we know here in America especially, you buy anything. It didn't take long for it to be destroyed, especially if you have kids. See, the analogy shouldn't be thieves breaking in and stealing. It should be you have kids and they break everything. Because where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And if you don't lay up treasures in heaven, guess what? When you move on, your heart's not going to be there. And you're not going to get through that gate. He says, we have been raised with Christ, not just as a removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience, that we are changed people. And that as changed people, we are different from the people of the world who seek after things. Jesus Himself says that life does not consist in the abundance of things. It's not about having stuff. It's about being Christ. We've been raised to that purpose. He goes on in verse 3, Colossians chapter 3. In verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. He says you died. Now to most people, if you had died, there's no more issue anymore. Because you're done. You're dead. You're like Rover. You're dead all over. Death means separated. And we recognize that when you die. James chapter 2 and verse 26. When you physically die, your spirit is separated from your body. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. And they always talk about, well, you brought them back to life. No, you didn't. Their heart might have stopped. They might have been unconscious for some time. That doesn't mean that they are dead. The Bible says death comes when your soul is separated from your body. And when that happens, there is no going back. So you didn't bring them back to life. You resuscitated them. You started the heart again. Which is an amazing thing. But not the same thing. Only Jesus was able to bring folks back to life. 3 days in the grave. Four, in Lazarus' case. Man, he's going to start stinking by now. Roll the stone away anyway. Let's open this thing up. Lazarus, come out, he says. Spiritual death comes, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, when a person and God are separated by sin. And he made and you he made alive, he says, who were dead in trespasses and sins. He doesn't say you were dead because your body was separated from your spirit. He says that you were dead in a different way, a spiritual way. You were dead as far as God was concerned, and there was a separation in a spiritual way because your soul and God were separated through the chasm of sin. But in the same way that a body and a spirit are separated in death, and a person and God are separated through sin, we can be separated from sin through Christ. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. We said that just a second ago. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? So in chapter 5, he says, grace is awesome. It's amazing. It's this great thing that comes at Christ's cost. But it's amazing, and it covers these sins that we've committed. And so the obvious idea was, hey, let's continue to sin because Christ's blood will just cover it. And if grace is a good thing, more grace is a better thing. If a little is good, a lot is better. He says, that's not the case at all. Certainly not. The rhetorical question, how shall we who die to sin live any longer in it? Just as the body is separated from the soul and that person dies, and God is separated from the person through sin and they're spiritually dead, so if we are spiritually alive, are we in our minds and in our actions separated from sin? We can just keep going around doing whatever we want, which ties obviously back into the life that we've been raised into. We came up out of the watery grave of baptism, and some people, right? Whoosh! And they're different now. They purpose to be different now. They decide to be different now. Some people have trouble with that. It's difficult for them. Because they're not suddenly changed. Their minds still dwell on things that they ought not dwell on. And they still have temptations in this life and they can't understand. It's because it's a change of purpose. It's a change that we make. We can't continue in sin that grace may abound. And God doesn't do all the work for us. But there's a part that each of us plays. A decision each of us makes. That we're going to be different. We're going to die to the sin that separates us from God. And we're going to be different. He says the third reason we should think of the things that are above, not just that we died, not just that we were raised with Christ, but verse 3 he says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I love that. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. We have lost perspective. In the Old Testament you talk about all the way through the book of Psalms, again and again and again, David talks about his life being hidden with God. His soul being hidden with God. And then when it came to anything, God hit him sometimes. And we say, well, that's just cowardly. Well, you're running from a fight. David said, I'm not going to run from any fight unless God wants me to run from it. When it came to standing against a giant, David stood. 1 Samuel 17. When it came to standing against Saul at times, David stood. And it was only by the grace of God that the Spirit didn't kill him there. And there were times where he met Saul in a cave. Took a piece of his cloak just to prove he was there. And that he wouldn't kill Saul. Because it was for God to make a decision on Saul's life, not for him. David was willing to stand when it was time to stand. But he was willing to hide in God when it was time to hide in God. When there was an opportunity for God to protect him, he wanted that protection. And we as Americans have walked away from that. Walked away from wanting the protection of God. We think that people that go and want to comfort it, they're just less than heroic and courageous. Paul says that if our life is not hidden with Christ, it's lost. If it's not put in God's hands, we're done. John 10, when he's talking about him being the good shepherd, he says that it's only because God holds his sheep in his hand and no one can take them out of his hand. Now they can jump out. They can run and frolic all they want anywhere else. But when they decide to be in his hand, no power in this earth can remove them. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21. The goal of a Christian's existence is to live Christ. Not live like Christ. Not to be a reasonable facsimile, but to live Christ. He says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Not like Christ. For me to live is Christ. That means when I do anything, I belong to Christ because I'm a new creature, a new creation. I've been raised. And in the same way that Christ was raised, I want to be raised. And so I change who I am in keeping with Christ's will. I change every purpose in my mind and in my life so that I'm trying to do the things that Christ did. Not so that I can be like Christ, but so I can exist in that capacity. Christ must dwell in us. Colossians chapter 1, the first chapter of Colossians, in verse 27. He says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And he says the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles is Christ in you. That's the blessing that God had given everyone. Not just the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles were the only one in the world. The fact that we can have Christ in us. As we talked about this morning in John 6, Jesus talks about He is the bread of life, and those who eat His flesh and eat and drink His blood, that is, make Him a part of themselves, make themselves like Christ by studying His words as well as living His actions. That we have Christ dwelling in us. We are under the control of Christ. Many people are under the influence of a lot of things. Under the influence of alcohol, of drugs, of friends, both good and bad. There are good influences and there are bad influences. There are things that hinder us from doing the things of God, and there are things that encourage us to do the things of God. It says, most importantly of anything else, we have to be under the control of Christ. That's what it means to have our life hidden with Christ in God. That is protected. That way we can go through our lives and we can do the things that Christ calls us to do because we know that our lives, our eternity is protected. And we can go into the world, a world that hates us, despises us, and at times will seek our destruction. And we can do that and we can do ridiculously cool things. We can do the things that God calls us to do for His kingdom. Because we know that our life is hidden in Christ. We know our life is there. And no one can take it from Him. And we are under control of Christ because of it. I also love the way he says that in verse 3. Colossians chapter 3. In verse 4 he says, when Christ, who is our life, appears. Not if. Well, if Christ appears, everything will be all right. He says everything is going to be all right because Christ is going to appear when He appears. It's not an if, it's a when, friends. When Christ, who is our life, appears, John chapter 5, verses 28-29, the dead will be raised. Those who are righteous to everlasting life, and those who are unrighteous to condemnation. A resurrection of condemnation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. When Christ, who is our life, appears, the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Which means only that which is done for Christ is going to last past that. And all the things of this possessions of this life are going to be destroyed. They're not going to make a bit of difference. Try bribing the guards in heaven with ash. That's pretty much what you're going to be doing. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. The faithful will receive their new bodies. And though we don't know a lot about those new bodies, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says that we will be like He is. We will be like He is right now, as He's dwelling in heaven at the right hand of God. He says we will be in that same existence, whatever that is. And we being physical creatures with physical eyes and only able to understand physical things for the most part, can't comprehend that. And so He gives us all that He can. And He says, most importantly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, that we will be with Him forever, those who are faithful. Not only the new bodies that will be like Him, but that we will dwell with Christ and with God forever. And we have those promises. To the glory of God, we have those promises. Through our blessed Redeemer, Jesus Christ, we have those promises. But only if we set our minds on things that are above. We so easily get distracted with so many things. So many things get in our way and keep us from pursuing. Keep us from desiring. Keep us sitting back and watching. We've got to seek things that are above because we've been raised with Christ. Because we are dead to sin, friends, if we've been raised with Christ. And because our life is hidden with Christ in God. And if we will, there is a place that holds all the glories of heaven. And we will have a place there. We will have a home waiting for us. Earth holds no treasure but perish with using. However precious they be, yet there is a country in which I am going. Heaven holds all to me. If heaven holds all to you, friends, you can join us in our pursuit of that place. Of that place that we want to call home. And if you are not faithful to the Lord's will, in whatever way it is, you can change that this day. The Lord has given us opportunity to repent of our sinfulness, to change our minds in relation to God's will, and change our actions as He would have us do. And as long as we have life in our bodies and breath in our lungs, we have the potential to change as human beings. And He gives us that opportunity this day to make right our relationship with God, to change who we are, to be raised in newness of life if you have not previously, or to be reborn again, even, into the works that Christ calls us. If you have walked away from God, you can take back up your position in heaven if you would repent of your sinfulness, the things that you had conspired to do, and you continue steadfastly in the Word of God. And if you are struggling with life, struggling with sin, with iniquity, with the things that go on in this world, temptations and trials, friends, you have a family here in the Lord's body that wants to find you with them in heaven. And if you need the help of this congregation in any way, I pray, whatever you need, that you would come while we stand and while we sing.